Well, welcome to our study of Deuteronomy this evening. Deuteronomy is the fifth and the last book of the Pentateuch. It has been called a copy of this law. It's also been called this second law and words. The book of Deuteronomy, it reiterates the events that occurred during the Israelites' journey from Egypt until the death of Moses. And so we're going to be reading some things that sound very familiar to us, which they should sound very familiar to us. The events that are recorded in Deuteronomy are not necessarily in chronological order, and it's important to remember that so we don't get tripped up here. We're going to see that Deuteronomy is divided into 34 chapters as we read. Now we're going to jump right in to chapter 1.
I'm going to say this about any book in the Pentateuch or other books as well, for that matter. They were not divided into chapters. In other words, actually, when you look at the Pentateuch, Moses was keeping records of everything that the Israelites had done. And we don't know. I know everyone says Moses wrote the Pentateuch. Moses wrote the facts that they recorded, the facts of the Pentateuch. But in all these books, it's obvious from the context that Moses could not have written it, and even in the way it's translated, you'll see that. And it's just documented facts. Someone brought all these things together in a book, but then many years later, they decided that for reference purposes, they would divide it into chapters and verses so it would be easier to find a reference. And so that's why we tell you this is divided into 34 chapters, because originally it was just one continuous flow of facts, okay?
So this chapter 1, it tells us of Israel's reconnaissance of the promised land, their report that the land was good, their refusal to enter, their repentance, Moses' warning, their disobedience, their defeat, and God's failure to respond to their cry. In verse 1, these are the words which Moses spoke unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazareth and Dizahab.
So this is at the end of Moses' life. You know, he's like 120 years old when he died. And so this is right at the end when he's just really giving them a summary of everything that's happened, and pointing out their God's faithfulness and their rebellion is what it's all about, really.
Mm-hmm. In verse 2, there are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea.
Now, you've probably heard people say that it was only 11 days' journey for them to go into the Promised Land. But if you really break that down, it says going by the way, and this is actually from Horeb. It's not from Egypt. This is from Sinai or Horeb. But it says by the way of Mount Seir. Well, the Israel was not allowed to travel by the way of the Mount Seir. The Edomites came out against them and would let them cross the land, and they kept circling the mountain, you understand? So get all your facts together, okay?
Verse 3, and it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke unto the children of Israel, according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them, after he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei.
Now, pay particular attention to this. It may seem insignificant to you. God told them that they were going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, we know that that military that refused to go into the land died within 38 years. At the end of 38 years, they were all dead. But here he tells you that this is the first day of the 11th month of the 40th year. So they're wandering in the wilderness there for a full 40 years because Moses hasn't died and they haven't gone over. So they're going to do exactly what God said. They're going to be in that wilderness for 40 years before they cross over the Jordan River.
I want to look at that verse 4 again about how the Lord had given the commandment unto them, and after he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt in Ashtaroth. Y'all, if you look, and we're going to see this in the psalmist, in the Psalms, and I want to just draw your attention to Psalm 136, if I may. And I hope you're fine with this. Look at verse 18. Actually, let's look at verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And you read through all these verses how the mercy of the Lord endures forever. And the God that we serve, how great and magnificent he is and the wonderful things that he does. But look at verse 17. Actually, let's go to 15. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endures forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And gave their land for a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. And you can keep reading through this psalm. But you see, what I want to keep before you and what I would like for us to just keep at the forefront of our minds as we read through Deuteronomy, it's the goodness of God and his favor for his people. And Moses is going to remind the Israelites time and time again about the goodness of God and how he spoke to the Israelites and gave them commandments and statutes and judgments. And if they would just adhere to the word of God, things would go well for them. In fact, their lives would be extended.
Something to look at also. We know that it was the Israelites who actually killed Sihon and Og at the command of the Lord.
Yes.
So when it says God slew, it's not that God sent a lightning bolt from heaven or, you know, drew his fist back and hit them. God executed his judgment on them through the Israelites. Now, you have to understand that, or you can misunderstand the way God operates. God chooses people to bless people, but God also chooses people to execute judgment against people. You understand? And so when you think about this, when you had judges in the land that were to execute the law of Moses, if capital punishment was in order, then they called for the execution of that person, but they were doing that by the command of God, so indirectly it's God killing them because he's given the command. That's why he says there in the psalm, the Lord slew. But note how he did it. He did it through people. You with me?
Our God is good. And we're going to find out, we're going to see how Moses is reminding the Israelites time and time again, our God is good. Now in verse 5, thank you.
Yeah.
On this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying.
So what he's doing, he's reviewing the law that God gave him to the people. This is the last thing he's doing before he dies, is he's making sure that they know the Word of God, what God has said, because that's going to be vital to them, not just possessing the land, but staying in the land to keep God from driving them out of the land. Because God has already said, if they don't keep the law, if they follow the practices of the heathen, then they're going to be driven out of the land also. And so God has told Moses what's going to happen. And so Moses is making sure that they know what they're supposed to do. So they're without excuse. Not only did he give it to them, but right before he dies, he emphasizes the importance of following that law.
And in verse 6, the Lord our God spoke unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of Canaan, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, and unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them.
You know, it's amazing how we can get comfortable in a place that is supposed to be a stepping stone to get us somewhere else. And this is what has happened to the Israelites. It's at Mount Horeb there in the Sinai range. This is where the law was given to Moses. This is where God spoke to the people, the whole nation verbally spoke to the people. This is where the instructions are given for the building of the tabernacle. They build the tabernacle. They were there for a long period of time. And finally, God said, you've been here long enough. In other words, everything you need is already in place. So it's time to move. Now, this does not negate the fact that they moved with a cloud. But God spoke to Moses first to tell him, all right, tell the people they've been here long enough. In other words, get ready.
Mm-hmm.
The cloud's about to move. And it's so easy to get comfortable in a particular setting when that's not what, that's not the ultimate goal that God has for your life. He may take you to this place to get you to this place, to get you to this place. But He has an end. He has a purpose for our lives. But we're not just jumping from zero to purpose, you understand? We go through some things to get us there, and that's exactly what's happened to Israel. Now, they could have gotten there quicker had they not been so rebellious. And people wonder why God is delaying and God's not doing this and God's not doing that. It's because God's dependent upon people. And if people won't do what he says, then how's he going to get the job done? Because he's ordained to get it done through people. He's given dominion to people.
Mm-hmm.
And God does not take back what he gives. You understand what I mean by that? If God gives you dominion, you have dominion. If you abuse the dominion, he'll deal with you, but you still have dominion. Adam never lost dominion. Humanity has dominion today because God gave it to us through Adam And God has never reneged on that. But he's depending upon us to execute his will. And the law of Moses was the will of God. You have to follow the will of God. And it may be God's will to be at Horeb for a period of time. But don't get comfortable there. Understand, we're only passing through on our way home. People get comfortable in this natural life. And they have all these great plans of what they're going to do. And, we're going to retire. We'll accumulate this. We'll accumulate that. And the bottom line is, this is not your home. If you're a born-again believer, this is not home. This is a journey. We came out of Egypt, but we're going to a promised land. You with me? So don't get comfortable in the flesh. Keep the eyes on the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit of God.
Amen. Before we move on, I just want to remind you, I had a scripture reference I want to share with you. You know, we looked at in that verse 8, "Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess it. This land which the Lord swore unto your fathers." Go back, please, with me to Genesis chapter 13. And let's look at this familiar scripture. And here's why I bring this up to you. Is I just want to keep before you the faithfulness of God. When he says he's going to do something, he'll do it. It might not be in our time, but he'll do it. Look at what he swore to Abram after Lot had separated from him. I'm in chapter 13, verse 14. "Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see to you, I will give it to your seed forever." Sounds permanent, right? We shouldn't be disputing over land today, should we?
It's still forever.
Still forever. "I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall your seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." So this is that land that Abram walked. This is the land that the Lord is setting before them to go in and possess. The land flowing with milk and honey. The land just established with good cities that the Israelites didn't have to build. Wells they didn't have to dig. You know, vineyards planted. Olive trees planted. Fruit-bearing trees there for their enjoyment. Houses filled with good things. For them to go in and possess. God has set this before them. He didn't say, "I will set." He said, "I have set." Verb tense is important, y'all. This is not a future. He's already done this. You know, I brought you back to that scripture in Genesis because what we do with our assignment that the Lord gives us is important. Not only to us, but it affects other people. And you might not ever see it, and I might not ever see how my assignment impacts other people. But if Abram had not walked that territory, he wouldn't have fulfilled the assignment to give that promised land to these Israelites, you understand. And so I just want to encourage you to cooperate with the Lord and fulfill the assignment that he's given you, because you don't know how it's going to impact people around you or future generations.
You know what Abraham is doing? It's not, you have to understand how I say this. It's not benefiting him per se, because he never owned.
That's right.
Only property that he owned was the burying place that he bought for Sarah.
That's right.
He did not own territory. And so he's walking all this through for the benefit of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think there's a powerful message in this. We're here as representatives of the Lord, not for ourselves, but for somebody else. You understand? Making preparation for other people. What Israel enjoys today, which is lots have been stolen from them, but the things they enjoy today, Abraham walked it. You understand? He walked the land that they enjoy today. Somebody has to be that forefather, that pioneer, to do it. So don't despise what God's called you to do. If He's called you to be the pioneer, then blaze the trail.
Amen.
You understand? Do what you have to do. You with me? Thank God that Abraham was obedient and his descendants are reaping the benefit of his obedience to God. And I believe that that's a principle that if we'll follow, that people will reap the benefit of our obedience to the Lord.
Very good. Verse 9. And I spoke unto you at that time, saying, now this is Moses speaking, I am not able to bear you myself alone. The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. For the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you, and has promised you, as he has promised you. How can I myself alone bear your encumbrance, and your burden, and your strife? Take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And you answered me and said, the thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do.
So at the time God instructed Moses to leave Mount Horeb, Moses spoke to the people and he said to them, I'm not able to transport you to this land by myself. We're talking about a nation now. I can't do it by myself. One man can't do it. And if you remember, he went to God about that thing. He's telling God, I can't bear these people. He said, God multiplied you as the stars of heaven, and may he make you 1,000 times more than you are, and bless you as he promised. This is what he was telling them at this time. And then he admitted that he couldn't endure it. Now look at this. He couldn't endure their burdens and their contentions. Grumbling, complaining, thinking they had a better idea than God. Now, I'm going to tell you, people need to learn from this today. It's amazing how many people think they have a better idea than God. They don't want to follow the Word of God. They want to come up with their own thoughts and opinions and all this. And he said, so he told the people at that time, he said, I told you to select reputable men from your tribes who are wise and understanding and make them leaders. And the people told Moses that his recommendation was good. You remember captains over thousands, mm-hmm. over hundreds, mm-hmm. over fifties, over tens. Mm-hmm. What is it? It's a delegated authority. Here, Moses is the head of the nation. And then you have people from the way we do it today, you know, you'd have cabinet members. And then under that, you have your various organizations, your military and all this. And it's a rank, okay? And so you go down. The tens handle what they can, what they can't, they refer. And then what the fifties can't, they refer. What the hundreds can't, they refer. What the thousands can't, they refer. You understand? Delegated authority is what this is. And delegated authority is the only way that you're going to be able to accomplish a ministry of any size, if you have a goal, a thing that God's put on your heart, you're going to have people helping you. You can't do it yourself. We say Moses' tabernacle. Moses didn't build the tabernacle. God gave Moses the pattern, people who had skills and craftsmen, women who knew how to do various things. It took all of them working together to accomplish the goal. And this is what Moses is saying. One man can't do it. It takes many people. And you say, well, boy, that sounds good, you know. But then what happens? People start vying for position. In other words, it's a good thing that God ordains, but if God ordained the positions, let God fill the positions. Instead of trying to do it off of who you like the best, who's the most popular, who has the most money in the right positions. You understand? You get the wrong people in positions of power, and it'll hurt you.
Verse 15, so I took the chief of your tribes, wise men and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes.
So Moses is saying, I presented it to you, it sounded good to you, then I implemented it. Then we chose these leaders. They were selected from the tribes of Israel. And so each tribe has its leadership. You understand? Those who went in to spy out the land were leaders of their tribes. Mm-hmm. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so now this thing it's not just one segment of the nation, but it's the entire nation that's involved in this. There's so much in that, if people would just stop and think about it. God is not partial, but he's not stupid. You understand? And God wants the people in the position who will follow him. Just a little side thought here, okay? I was thinking earlier of the scripture where Paul made the statement, I thank God that he counted me faithful, actually is trustworthy, to put me into the ministry. That God deemed me to be worthy of trust. So he trusted me with his ministry. And it's amazing how many people want to go into the ministry, but you can't. Nobody can trust you. People can't trust you. How can God trust you? God's looking for people who are absolutely sold out to him, committed, loyal, who have a zeal for God, but they harness that with the wisdom of God. That's what he wants, people that'll do it his way. But if God can't trust you in something small, it would be foolish for him to put you over something big. You with me? And then God puts us in positions according to our ability. You understand? God has not called me to oversee a church of 10,000 people. You understand? And so, you know, some of us are captains of tens. And I'm all right with that. You understand? Because that's the best place you can be. The other will stress you out. It's not something that you need. And so God does things according to our ability. But I want you to think about this. It's not that God is being impartial. God knows everything it takes to get the world running in order. And it takes some small things as well as large things. But what if everybody was doing the large things, the small things, and the details would go undone? It takes more than a president of a corporation to run a corporation. Hmm. Where would he be without the people giving the service or making the product? You wouldn't need him. He wouldn't have anything to be president over, you understand. But he has the ability here. These guys have the ability here, and they don't need to have a tug of war back and forth. You need him, he needs you. And we have to understand that we need one another. And so don't despise the place that God has you. He knows that's the best place for you. That's what works for you, and that's what's going to be beneficial to others as well. All right, mm-hmm. I'm off my side journey.
It was a good journey. All right, we get back to you, verse 16. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. You shall not respect persons in judgment, but you shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's, and the cause is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things which you should do.
Now note that what he is pointing them to do, he's calling them judges. You're to give the judgment of God, okay, in these various positions. So he said, all right, you listen to the cases that are brought before you, and you judge righteously. You do not show partiality. You're to treat the insignificant and the important the same. It doesn't matter how influential they are. If they're wrong, they're wrong. And you can't just favor a poor man because he's poor. Give a fair judgment. And don't fear anyone. Well, boy, that's a mouthful. Because you look at people today, you look at what our Supreme Court has done and how they've swayed justice because they feared the wealthy and influential rather than to give a righteous judgment. And Moses warned against that. And so they ran into something too hard for them. Refer. And I've been told to shut up. So my time's up. We'll take a break. And we'll come back here, okay?
Okay. We'll stop right.
That is what...